Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You just said to me, what did you say? I can't talk. Hello, I'm Claire. This is James West.
I don't know what she's talking about, by the way. I've just entered the room and she's just launched into this. I think she's had some kind of seizure. I don't know what's going on.
You said to me, because you're just playing video games. We're married, by the way, and we recommend you things. You get few hours of the day to do things you enjoy. Are you serious? Your entire job is doing things that you enjoy for many hours.
That is true. But I'm talking about something I can just play and not have to think about it or write anything down or like scrub through the entire back catalogue of things and watch all behind the scenes. I know my job is like not a real job. I'm aware of that.
What shooty-shooty gun game are you playing?
You know what? Clean out of your business. How about that?
No, I want to know.
I'm playing, there's a new Terminator game. I've talked about it on the Weekly Planet. It's just a solid game and I don't have to talk about it. I'm just playing something that I don't have to talk
Didn't
about.
Didn't you just say you talked about it on your podcast?
I did, but now I don't have to talk about it again. But now you're making me talk about it, which means it feels more like work.
All right. Anyway, it's so nice to have you back for our show. Thanks for coming.
Oh, look, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Not you, the listeners.
I'm just happy that to be invited back.
Of which most are our mums and friends.
That's true.
No, we have lots of great listeners. Well, I think we should go back to our usual rule, gentlemen's first.
Okay, here we go.
You old boot!
Do we want to just quickly mention, this is being released on the Thursday, Sandspan's doing a live show tonight.
Oh, yes, it's tonight. If you want to see this dynamic live stage,
yeah.
Check out my pregnant belly.
Pregnant. The whole Sandspan's crew do go on.
Yeah.
Nick Mason will be there.
He will.
What incentive? Starts at 8:30.
Halibar. Yeah. There's a few tickets left. Yeah. It's selling out
very
quick.
Might be tickets on the door. I don't know. There normally is.
A few little
cheeky ones.
You'll
probably be all right.
Yeah.
Don't
bank on that because it is selling out very quickly. Yeah. I think there were 30 tickets left from my last count, but that was a few days ago. Yes, and we'll be there. It'll be fun. I may be asleep because it's a late night.
For me, it's when I come alive.
There'll be some
Watch
drinkies.
Me tank now that I've said that. I'll be like, oh, my God, you got to see me on fire, and I just freeze up immediately. Yeah. Okay, all right, my first suggestion. I recently got us Apple Plus for a year because I got a new phone and you get it for a year. I wasn't going to get it. I don't think.
So you're telling me that you got me a gift for free.
No, I didn't get it. I didn't say it was a gift.
I mean, honestly, you marry someone, you expect them to give you stuff.
I got you flowers for whatever the fuck
you
day
did,
it was
actually.
Last
they were
week.
Lovely.
I didn't even.
I recommend
them.
Daily Blooms if you're in Australia because they send them to your door. So James just had to pay for it on the internet.
Oh, okay, Claire, please belittle my choice. I'm trying out here. You know what I mean? There's so few hours in the day. I've got this Terminator game to finish. But anyway,
Happy Valentine's
I don't
day.
Think Apple Plus is worth getting just yet. I don't think there's enough stuff on it. And also, once you go in there, you're like, oh, Parasite, and you click on it's like, it's $14. And I'm like, what the fuck kind of streaming service is this? Where you also have to pay for some things but not the other? Anyway, there's a new show that came out called Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet. And you might be like, what is that? It stars and is written by some of the people behind It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Rob McElhenney, who you might know as Mac from It's Always Sunny. Remember he got really fat, then he got really ripped?
Yeah.
He's that guy. He stars and is one of the creators. Megan Gans is also one of the writers on that, and she's written on a bunch of awesome stuff. Charlie Day, who's also from It's Always Sunny. And like I said, it's starring Rob. And also Charlotte Nicodeo, who's Australian as well. And basically, he's in charge of this. It's called an MMORPG. You familiar with what that is?
Of course I am, James. What do you take me for?
Well,
I have no fucking idea what that is.
I was going to say, what you could have covered it because I was going to say, hey, let me just explain it for those who don't know. I know you
the
know,
MMORPG, 90-90, bang, bang.
Look, I'm not going to say the specifics of what each letter means.
It's fine.
But basically, it's an online role-playing game where you get a character and you're in a world and you run around and you interact with other players and there's swords and quests and microtransactions
and
all that kind of stuff.
So it's not actually, because I watched a tiny bit of this with the guy with the fish eyes from Boardwalk Empire.
What the hell? What? No, that's a completely different show. You're thinking of a different show.
Oh,
that. You're thinking of that medieval show.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No. So this is about the team, the creative team behind a video game. And so if you have any kind of interest in the video game industry, which you don't, I'm sure, but it explores. But there's a lot of things like Crunch. Crunch is this thing in the video game industry where they justify making people behind games work insane hours for little pay to meet a release date. It's this thing in the industry that happens all the time. And then after a crunch period, they'll lay off all these employees and then rehire them back casually to avoid paying them rates and things like that. So it's about exploiting game creators and online trolling. It's also about creativity, and it's all about also diversity in gaming, because there is not a lot of that, either in the characters that you necessarily play as or the teams behind them. So it explores all of that. And that's all fine. Like, it's a great show. It is. But episode 5 in particular, it's a standalone episode. It's called A Dark and Quiet Death. And it's written by Kate McElhenney. I'm sure I'm saying that wrong. Who is the sibling of Rob. And basically, it's about a husband and wife duo in the 90s, played by Jake Johnson, who you might know, and Kristen Milotti. And basically, they meet in a video game store, and then they decide to create this small indie video game. And it's about slowly how kind of the marketing kind of seeps into it, and it warps into this thing that that's making a lot of money, but they don't like. And it's about their relationship and how it impacts on that. And so if you don't like video games or any of the things that I've said, that episode alone is terrific. And it's the best of the season. It's got nothing to do with the other episodes at all. There's like sort of hints towards it, but you could watch that episode 5 as a standalone, no other characters kind of come up in it.
I'm going to do that. That
yeah, you should totally awesome. Just watch it. Just watch the episode 5, and that's all you need to watch.
So it's about a married couple who start something and then hate it.
Exactly. And they're trapped in it and they can't escape.
That sounds familiar.
That's right.
No, we love this.
That's why I enjoyed it. But it's interesting about kind of creative compromise and it's like to get further ahead in certain ways. And we've also, you've seen this with like media networks and that. You kind
totally.
Of you take on investors and you kind of grow and staff. And that's kind of something that we've
looked at a lot.
We've definitely
actually.
Looked at them. We've had
but we've had opportunities that we could have pursued,
and maybe we will down the line.
Yeah, you
but
never know.
At this point, would rather make less money and be left alone than have somebody being like
entire ethos.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but I do think that's actually a really interesting thing to explore, because we started this whole thing maybe 4 years ago now, but then even longer. You've been doing the YouTube thing maybe even 10 years, right?
Mm.
We've sort of seen a lot of companies come and go and networks come and go.
You see major brands fold, like Colitumer and
– yeah.
Well, they're still kind of limping along for the moment, but yeah.
And a lot of different things happen to people who run networks or run channels, and the industry is changing so quickly because everyone's making things up as they go along. Even all the MCN stuff that happened.
Totally, yeah.
The Defy Media, which if you don't know about, just Google because it's really interesting, I think, anyway.
I did a video on it.
Yeah, you did on YouTube on Mr. London Movies. But we've always sort of stuck to the idea, and I think this is valuable, that if you're making something together, we're the priority at the end of the day, as in the two of us, our family, what makes our lives work well and what we enjoy. And if something is going to conflict with that, then we say no.
Yeah.
Generally. I mean, obviously, you know, we still work hard and all of those things.
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah. Maybe down the line we will do that.
Yeah.
When we have more time.
Exactly.
And our kids are grown up at some point.
Yeah, exactly.
Know. But at the moment.
But I think it's important if you're starting something creative at the heart of it to
know. And
there's
also ways to do it, to retain creative control and freedom. But there's this thing of like once you take on investors and it's other people's money, the dynamic switches and all of a sudden you're, even though they're like technically like you're in charge and whatever, they can then pull that money out and the whole thing falls down. It happens all the time.
Or if someone buys your channel, which has happened to creators on YouTube.
Definitely.
And then like with what happened with Defy Media, they bought creators' channels and then you get paid a wage from that from Defy.
Yeah.
And then Defy goes bankrupt and you end up with nothing.
I mean, nothing, that's right.
And
in that you lose your audience. Because because even switching platforms or in anything, in any business, if you're found somewhere else, people aren't going to find you. Maybe 10% of people will kind of know that you've switched, but most people Which feel like, I don't know what happened to that thing.
Who's that guy? Where did he go? Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if this is interesting to other people who don't run creative stuff, but
I don't think it's necessarily, I think it's anything. Yeah, I think it's any small business. Yeah.
Or just the way you run your life, like sometimes taking a hit financially, but for improving your quality of life or time with your kids or time with your partner or, you know, shortening your commute, all of those kinds of things. I mean, it's also a luxury to be able to discuss discussing this. But I do really think it's worth it because sometimes people overstretch themselves and work crazy long hours to earn more and more money, but then end up sacrificing their physical health or their family's sort of health.
Which I also understand because some people have responsibilities and, you know, you need to make a certain amount of money for whatever reason. And you know, and you want to, and you've provided people with jobs, and you want to kind of keep that up.
Totally, it's every family and every person is different in where they're at. Yeah, but I do think it's something worth keeping in mind. Like,
anyway, this is an excellent time capsule for when all this falls down in the future. People are like, oh my god,
exactly. They don't know what they're talking about.
That exact thing they mentioned happened.
Anyway,
to them.
I do love your ethos about what gives you the most creative freedom and ability to pivot and move around, and that's why we've sort of kept PB pretty small and our creators are all pretty autonomous. So anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like we kept it small and in the
anyway,
fam.
Anyway, watch that show that I
move
mentioned.
Move along. Okay.
I think the first episode might be available for free also.
What's it called again?
It's called Mythic Quest : Raven's Banquet.
I love a colon.
I like a semicolon. I like how they named it something that
not like, a colonoscopy
no,
though.
No,
nobody likes
good.
Anything up your bum.
Like
well,
that name
some people
is
do,
atrocious. And apparently he did it on purpose. He's like, I wanted the longest name possible.
So, and I respect that.
Anyway, what do you got? So we talked
about
that.
Cool. All right. Okay. Well, I've got a couple of things. A quick thing. First, cast iron pots. I know this sounds random. I've been doing a lot of cooking. I have a really cool recipe that Collings will link, and I've got the link here. It's called One Pan Moroccan Chicken and Couscous. I made it the other day. Mm. Wasn't it delish?
It was excellent, actually.
It was really good. But the reason I'm recommending this, I have a Le Creuset cast iron pot, but you can get them anywhere.
A what?
It's just
can you
it,
say
that's
it in a normal
the,
voice?
Le Creuset. No, I can't. That's all I can say it in. So it's made in France. Mm-hmm. So it's a cast iron pot, but the reason it's so good is that it can keep food really hot. They're really like good quality. They'll last you for like 50
years. You can
drop them. You can drop them and you can keep them on a lower heat setting. So you can slow cook them with them. You can also put them in the oven as well and under the grill and they'll be completely fine, which means that you can make an entire food meal in one pot and then serve it on the table and it will keep it nice and hot. So anyway, I've just been using
they
that
are good.
A lot.
I can't argue with that, Claire.
Yeah, it's bloody
so
awesome.
It's also,
and that recipe
when you
is delicious.
First move out or have stuff, it's just like, what pots can I find?
Yeah.
And it's just nothing.
Correct.
And it's nice to be like, oh my God, look at this pot.
Yeah, I know. But I reckon you can find
oh
even
God.
Like a cast iron
pot is for real.
That's what you always say. I reckon you can find cast iron pots, though, in op shops, all kinds of places, online, on Gumtree or wherever you go to find your, you know, secondhand stuff because they last forever. And it's just, it's my favorite thing to use in the kitchen. It's super easy and less washing up.
Oh, the dream.
The one pot wonders, we call them. Mm. One pot, one meal in a pot. Anyway, yeah. I love it. Okay, so that's my first round of recommendation. My second one is my serious one. This is a film I watched last night. It's called The Australian Dream.
Oh, yeah.
It's directed by Daniel Gordon. The writer is journalist Stan Grant, who is an Indigenous man and has a really interesting story to tell.
I know Stanley Grant.
You do, yeah. He's often on our the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. Mm. He is amazing. And the center of the story is Adam Goods, who is, for people overseas, we have our sort of football, so the most popular sport, I'd say, in Australia.
Think of it this way. Imagine where you're from and the football that you have. We have a slight variation on that.
We do. We do, though it potentially has some roots in Margaruk, which is an Indigenous game that was played by Indigenous Australians who were here for 65,000
really?
Years before white settlement. Anyway, Adam Goods, who is just one of the most incredible players in our AFL. He plays for the Sydney Football Club. He was born in January 1980 and he has kind of become somewhat of a controversial figure in Australia, but he is incredible. He holds an elite place in AFL and VFL history because he's a dual Brownlow medalist, which is incredibly difficult to achieve.
Yeah, there's a few of them. Gary Ablett Jr., a few others maybe.
Correct. But, you know, a very small pool of players. He's a dual premiership player as well, which is amazing, which means he's won the premiership more than once. He's the four-time All-Australian member of the Indigenous Team of the Century. And in 2014, he was also given the prestigious award of Australian of the Year for his advocacy against racism and discrimination. So he is an incredible guy and incredibly talented. The film sort of pivots around what happened to him. It was sort of, it's hard to explain really. I guess it's an exploration of racism in Australia. Yes. And there was an incident that happened where Goods was called an ape.
Yeah.
By a fan, and he asked for that fan to be removed from the stadium when he was playing in a premiership. The fan turned out
to be –
Was
it a premiership?
Actually, yes, no, it wasn't a premiership. It was an Indigenous game.
They just added the Indigenous game.
But it turned out – it turned out that the fan was a 13-year-old girl, and she was removed from the game. And she since apologised to him, and he came and did a press conference about it and talked about how he was sick of Indigenous players being treated the way they are and the kind of racist taunts that he, you know, called out to them during matches.
Since there has been Indigenous players, this has existed and it still exists.
Absolutely.
The way that people, there's a lot of like, well, it's just a gentle ribbing and it's sport.
And everyone gets ribbed for stuff. But yeah. I mean, it's got very deep roots.
Yeah.
So this film explores his story and what happened to him after that incident. He sort of became the victim of kind of online bullying and a huge storm started to happen. He then started to get booed during football matches. Mm. And then at one point he did they called it like a war cry on the ground and during one of the matches when he kicked a goal. And the crowd then booed even harder and it escalated even further.
Yeah, and people were taking like, well, that's offensive. If anything, he's offending us and
yeah,
whatever.
Correct.
Like, calm down.
Yeah, anyway, so the film explores the story behind, I guess, what happened to him and also more broadly racism and Indigenous culture in Australia.
Yeah.
One of the things I found so powerful about this is that regardless of what side of the fence you sit on around the Adam Goods debate, it's so worth watching. Because, yes, it's from the lens of Adam Goods, but there's also strong voices, for instance, and Andrew Bolt, who is a conservative commentator.
The worst man in the world.
Well, anyway, he's a conservative commentator who some people do follow. And Eddie Maguire as well, who is a really senior figure in the Australian football world. And he was in trouble for making a sort of joke about Adam Goods on radio. But he's also interviewed senior players in the football world like Nathan Buckley are also featured. Nova Paris, who's one of our really incredible Indigenous athletes. Nikki Winmar, who is famous for taking that iconic photo, he's Indigenous as well and lifted up his shirt while the crowd was taunting him and pointed to his skin. And there's this incredible photo.
Great photo.
Of him. And so they look
it's
at
so
the
ripped.
History.
It looks great.
Yeah, they look at the history. They also interview Linda Burney, who is an incredible activist for Indigenous people and also a politician. And they also talk a lot to his cousin, Michael O'Loughlin, who Adam Goods has since created a foundation with that sort of supports Indigenous football and youth and does a lot of work with youth in detention centres. So that's just incredibly powerful to listen to, all of those different voices, and Andrew Bolt's as well, because you kind of get to see the other side of the coin and where people are coming from with why they were so angry at Adam Goods, I guess. So I think it's really worth watching. And you never want to tell anyone what to think, but I think when we're exploring these themes of racism and discrimination, it's really great to really deep dive into someone's story and try and understand, you know, different perspectives.
Well, you said also that this show does a really good job of not telling you exactly what to think. And even having people like Andrew Bolt, who we all agree is the worst, it does offer different perspectives.
Yeah.
And obviously it's skewed towards him because it's a movie about him, presumably.
Adam Goods.
Yeah.
But absolutely. But no, it really does give a viewpoint. And then you kind of have to examine Andrew Bolt's perspective against kind of the backdrop of Indigenous history in Australia. And also Adam Goods' mum features in it. She was a member of the Stolen Generation, which is a really dark sort of part of Australia's history.
Yes.
Where children, Indigenous children, were forcibly removed from their families for assimilation, basically. So we've got a very, very dark history in Australia, particularly with Indigenous rights. And I don't think everyone is in any way aware of it. I don't think it's covered enough in schools. And so this documentary goes a long way to exploring a lot of that culture and history, and then also celebrates us as a nation, and I think is quite hopeful about where we can move forward. Anyway, it just really made me think, and it's beautifully shot. So yes. I would totally recommend that. It's screening on the ABC on Sunday, but you can also get it from Google Play and download it from iTunes, all the places.
That's right. You can actually pay money for it. Speaking of, Andrew Bolt is actually trending at the moment because he defended the pedophile who got fired for St. Kevin's, and the principal recently had to resign as a result of trying to cover that up. Basically, this sport teacher was grooming students, and allegedly nothing ended up happening between them. But he's like, well, nothing happened. What's the big deal? It's like, I don't know, because grooming's illegal and you shouldn't try and have sex with kids. I don't know. What do you think's wrong, Andrew Bolt? Anyway, he sucks. Okay.
All right. What a balance.
I've got the thing.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I've got a thing that this is kind of a rabbit hole, so you just bear with me, okay?
All right.
There's this Twitter account I follow. It's called Relationship Texts, and basically they post.
Is this a confession?
No.
Time?
Basically, right. It's people. it's from a Reddit thread, and people basically post questions about relationships and all things they've been in, and ask for advice and things like that. Right. There's another one that's connected to it. That's called "Am I the Asshole?" And they basically describe scenarios, and then people just decide whether or not the thing that they're doing is like reasonable or not. Right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this one's called Relationship Texts, and it all spawned from this post that I saw. It said, I, 35 male, have barely worked at my job for the last 4 years and have been hiding the fact from my wife, 34 female. Right. So that's where it starts. Okay. He apparently works this job where he does maybe 20 minutes of work a day, and the rest of the time he just does nothing. And she's like a high flying lawyer. Right. And she's constantly stressed and whatever. And he feels guilty about it, but it's got to the point where he's been doing it for 4 years and he doesn't know how to tell her. Right.
James, basically, I
was going to confess the same thing to you. So that's how it starts. And then I was reading the comments, and then I went down this rabbit hole, which posted to this. There's this website called Something Awful. It used to be much bigger in the early 2000s. It was like the early Reddit. Reddit Flair, because I know you're blanking out, is like a
I know what forum. Reddit is. I know what Reddit is. Good Lord.
There's this post from a guy, which Collins will link below. It's called The Forgotten Employee. And it's a basic – this guy was moved to another department, right, and then got an email that said all the people that he worked – that worked for him in his department have been moved to a separate department. So this guy was essentially – alone in this job being paid for this thing, which he wasn't really doing. So he spent years working in this position, the main job being trying not to get discovered that he wasn't actually doing anything. So he was this glitch in the system that he would have a computer and he'd go to work and he'd dress up and he'd go to meetings, but he didn't actually do anything at all. The whole thing's there. It's fascinating. Maybe it's not true. Who's to say, right? But
no, it sounds like it could absolutely all the be time. True.
And that, though, spun off onto this. I read this article then that somebody else posted underneath that said that's called On the Phenomenon of Bullshit Jobs, okay? And basically it talks about how it was predicted in the 1930s that by the end of the 20th century the work week would be 15 hours long, right? And the idea is, and the article talks about, this is in Europe and North America, and I would say probably Australia as well because there's a lot of similarities there. People spend the majority of their lives performing tasks that they secretly believe don't need to be performed. And there's this moral and spiritual damage that comes with being in the situation that does nobody any good, including yourself, and you have no sense of purpose because you're just basically a cog in a pointless machine,
oh, right?
And it's talked about how automation has led to less manufacturing jobs. But as a result of this, you need people to do things in the workforce. So there's creations of things like financial services and telemarketing, and expansion of sectors like corporate law and academia and health administration, human resources, public relations. And then off the back of that, you've got things connected to that, like security and technical aspects of jobs, like keeping computer servers running and you know,
ticking
IT departments
boxes,
and
filling in spreadsheets. Exactly.
And then you've got safety inspectors, et cetera, and so forth, and it goes on forever and ever, right? So I know I sound like I'm insane. But then off the back of that, because people are working these jobs, then you have to hire people like dog groomers and food delivery, which impacts the service industry as well. So it's this whole thing, right, that's spun up. And I'm not saying all of these jobs are pointless. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there are industries, and within those industries, there are positions that don't actually mean anything. And entire corporations that if you remove them, nothing would happen. The world would like continue to thrive. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, guys. His nostrils are flaring.
Yeah, he calls it. And look, I am also believed like we are in that role. Like you could remove us and the world would still run, right?
Aww.
It's fine. But look, that's the way it is. The way that I've justified it to myself is we are making enough money for our family and we're doing a thing that some people sort of like, and that, and I also I'm free. My days are mostly freed up to do this thing. I know it's not the most important job in the world. It's probably one of the least important jobs in the world. But that's how I justify it. But that's also, I think, why people in their particular roles could also justify it. Because if you've got you're doing a job that even if you think is pointless, you're still providing for yourself to survive and potentially others.
I disagree with you on that point. I disagree because I think one of the things about what we do that I've found to be like I just am so grateful for every day is that I often found myself in other jobs filling in pointless spreadsheets and pointless forms for no reason. When you work for yourself in this kind of way, and we're very lucky and very niche, I honestly, the amount of emails I've got fill up maybe an hour, a couple of hours, and then I've got mental space to do all the other things I need to do. But everything I do generally has a purpose.
Yes, but I'm talking most about the things. Overall thing in general.
Yeah, and I think what we do also has a purpose because we had this discussion the other night that I think humans are designed to be making stuff and creating stuff.
And that's what this posits. That's like creativity is like actually the one sole good thing that exists. And I think that's a bit much to be like, well, if the creativity is the most important.
No,
like,
but I do think
obviously there's like heart surgery teachers and you know what I mean? Like
but creativity comes in all different forms.
Yes, of course, obviously.
Yeah, I know you just want to keep saying what you were saying, but I want to say one more thing. Just that I think if we're not using our ingenuity and our creativity in different ways to solve problems and think outside the box, then we're miserable. And if we're not kind of moving around during that time and getting our hands into things and seeing the tangible effects of what we make, it also leads to more depression and anxiety.
Of course.
So however, whatever your job looks like, it can be heart surgery or teaching or baking or plumber or whatever.
It
can
be a creative element of it. And I'm not trying to – I just found this really interesting. I just kind of went
down
this
episode. I just find it really interesting too. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so basically the article also posits that – and again, I don't agree with all of this, but I just think it's interesting that a lot of people work 40 to 50 hours like on paper. That is their role. They're 9 to 5 and they go into the whatever and they do whatever the fuck people do, right?
Yeah.
But effectively within that, a lot of people are also only working 15-hour jobs, which was predicted in the 1930s. But the thing, it's all kind of expanded through kind of milling about and things like you spend your time organizing and spreadsheets and attending motivational seminars and all these other things and people and experts come in to talk about whatever.
It's a lot of meetings.
Exactly. And that's what I didn't end up liking about teaching at the end because I spent a lot of time sitting in meetings just being like, what the fuck am I doing here? What is the point of this?
Yeah.
Why is there a person who's turned up with a set of dolls and teaching me how to do a pretend scenario to my class who would not respond to this ad?
Yeah.
Like, there's
getting
so much
out Texas
waste.
And butcher's paper and mind mapping.
And things like that. I know that's not just teaching. That is a lot of jobs, if not most jobs. So the conclusion of this article is essentially that the ruling class, and this is their words, has figured out a way to have a happy and productive population, you need to eliminate free time by giving people these responsibilities because then they don't have the time to think about kind of how society as a whole and the kind of greater good of mankind. And you're not focusing on politicians and this is more me, now talking, but at billion-dollar organizations, which are absolutely ruining the world.
And the planet.
Yes, yeah. And the top 1% of the wealth and et cetera. And I know I sound insane. I know that. But I get annoyed when they talk about, like, on A Current Affair where they mention things like, well, the dollar bludgers are taking all the money and whatever. And it ends up being, I don't know, I'd have the numbers off the top of my head, but say a couple $100 million, which is not nothing, obviously. But then you get organizations fleecing literally billions from people all day, every
like
day.
The banking commission and that, in Australia.
And they own the media. This sounds insane, but they own the media organizations and control all the outlets and every and like the flow, like the entire flow of the economy, paying minimal, if not if any, tax. And I know they're also providing services, et cetera, and so forth. But I think all of this is connected for a reason. And I think a lot, and the other thing this article talks about is a lot of the people in jobs like this, they know that it's bullshit. People are absolutely aware of it. And I know I have friends like that. I'm in multiple WhatsApp groups where people aren't doing things all day, every day, just on their phone all day, just texting, right? Mm-hmm. Which is fine. I don't care. What good, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have friends that don't like get to work at 9 but start at 11 because they kind of mill about and they have a small conference meeting, they get a coffee and whatever. You know, and I think it also gets fed in, and this is not in the article, it gets fed into schools because school is a trap. And I know that sounds ridiculous coming from a teacher. And I look, and I think a lot of students, and I think in particular high school and not all high schools, and it depends on your teacher and your school system, whatever, but schools and mine in particular, and a lot of schools that we know, they basically breed people to live in middle management and do these nothing roles forever. And so you have kind of certain dreams and things that you want to do, and school funnels you into these certain situations. And again, this is not me saying I'm better than anybody else, because I'm certainly not, because again, I do a job that doesn't matter. But I just think the whole system is fucked. And the school and work should not be 5 hours. It should be 3 days work, 4 days off. I'll take a 4-3. We've talked about this before. But I just think the whole thing is fundamentally broken at its core. It doesn't make any sense, and everybody just goes along with it, and it drives me fucking insane. There, I got that.
Oh, my God. Guys, this is what I've been listening to all week, and he gets more and more intenso eyes. Like,
sorry about that. Look, I know. I know, yeah. I sound insane, and it's very self-indulgent. Believe me, I know.
No,
I sound ridiculous.
You do make the point, though, that because I think – like something you did say that I thought was really interesting as well with all of this, in professions like nursing and teaching and even, you know, medical professions or firefighting, people are on the ground, boots on the ground, having to, you know, give service to others. They don't get paid anywhere near enough.
Exactly.
But their days are chockers. Like I remember teaching, I had no time to look at my phone.
Yeah. And your lunch times are spent planning.
And like eating over a sink.
Or going outside and doing a lunch duty.
Yeah.
Or you're on first aid duty.
Yeah, exactly. So another of my friends quit teaching and went into a different profession. And she said, I no longer needed the 12 weeks of holidays a year, 2 weeks of plenty, because I just wasn't physically and mentally exhausted in the same way. And I think that that's the issue.
Yeah. I don't think all of these jobs, the ones like you mentioned, they're not valued anymore. And the money is in, I think, a lot of these jobs that don't even need to exist in the first place.
Yeah.
There's that incentive to get promoted and move. And now it's just kind of like, well, you're a nurse, you know, you're doing this good thing. It's to be expected. Like, what do you want? You're doing a good thing. Like, you know, the nurse should be on $200,000 a year.
Yeah, completely. Look, I think the interesting part of it too is that this is that's our Australian culture and workplace culture. But I think in other parts of the world, for instance, in Denmark or in China, teachers, and I'm not saying anyone has the perfect system or Finland, but
people
teachers have,
about,
I know they always talk about Finland when they talk about teaching in particular, because that's my sort of area. You know, the teachers have PhDs.
Yep.
They're some of the most respected members of the community and they're paid accordingly. And I think the US has this problem with teaching too, where teachers have to take on second jobs.
It's insane.
Which
that doesn't
is insane
make
because
any sense.
To make
and
a
as,
proper
as class
listen,
sizes grow.
I don't listen for a minute. God, you're just bloody ranting. Good luck, colleagues, editing this down. That teachers actually used to have, and in those kind of countries in China and Denmark and lots of places around the world where they have really high capable levels of education in their community and in their student bodies, because our results are failing in Australia and the same
hugely
with the US. They're on the massive decline. So that means that we're getting, our kids are receiving a poorer education, mm-hmm, because we're not valuing our teachers, and our teachers are not as skilled. Well, look, there's lots of teachers who are amazing. I'm not saying there aren't.
Yeah, that's
but I do think that the qualifications, the difference between having a PhD and having someone teaching you science who has a PhD in science is very different to someone who's had 2 years out, you know, in a teaching program. I just think it depends on the person.
It absolutely does.
But the results, look, there's also a lot of busy work happening and teachers are under enormous pressure in general.
Yeah.
All we're saying is the system is broken.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Let's finish on that note. We're way over time because James has been ranting about society. All I can hear is George Costanza in Seinfeld going, "We're living in a society." And you get the crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Anyway, you do have a lot of time to think about all this stuff, which is good.
Is it?
Anyway, I'm going to leave you guys with something to make you feel better about the whole world and the planet.
Is it a gun I can shoot myself?
That's not funny. No, it isn't because we don't live in America.
It's true. So, you can get a gun here, Claire. Don't even worry about it.
I don't know how you do it.
No, trust
you can't
me,
go to Kmart.
No, you used to be able to.
Anyway, the Firefight Australia concert happened very recently. More than 75,000 people packed the stadium in Sydney and over 1 million people watched from home as the Firefight Australia concert added an exclamation point to the devastating summer of deadly blazes that we've seen burning across Australia. So we have had an extraordinarily difficult summer for so many people for lots of reasons. And this concert was hosted by Celeste Barber, who I love, who is a comedian on Instagram
and raised
like over $50 million for the cause and for wildlife and for families who are affected and farmers and communities. Amazing. Anyway, it is just the most incredible lineup. My God. They had Queen. They had Olivia Newton-John and Johnny Farnham, one of our Australian icons. They had Tina Arena, Peking Duck. They had Jessica Malboy. They had Illy. They had the Hilltop Hoods.
They had a bowl of Peking Duck. They had Koshy and Mal, two out-of-touch morning show presenters
who didn't know what was going on. They had Katie Lang. All I can say.
Katie Lang was amazing.
She was amazing. So if you can, just go, because they're talking about it as one of the most iconic concerts in a very, very long time. Mm. It was 10 hours as well. And the quality of the music, Guy Sebastian, it was just spectacular. Katie Lang in particular was incredible. Yeah. She did a version of The Valley and her song The Valley and then also Hallelujah, which was absolutely beautiful, Leonard Cohen's beautiful, iconic song. So I would just go on YouTube and just put in Firefight Australia, Katie Lang, and also You're the Voice, which is one of – it's a bit of an anthem in Australia. And they did this incredible rendition of it with John Farnham, with Indigenous artists.
Yeah,
and it
was really cool.
It was amazing and really inspiring and uplifting, and it made you feel good about humanity. So go on, listen to James's rant, take some deep breaths, worry about his mental health. And then go and watch that on YouTube.
They're not helping anybody's anxiety.
I think they've raised so far over $7 million. So that's cool. I mean.
That is cool. Awesome. And there's still a lot of good causes out there if you want to donate to.
There certainly are. Yeah.
All right. We really got to get out of here. This is way too long. This is our longest one
yet.
I've just written here, school is a trap. It's just in my notes. Just a school is a trap. In all caps, by the way.
I also think this is from our privileged perspective.
Exactly. So. Well, that's the other thing, isn't it? Because I've had all the advantages that a person could really have in this country. Like I'm, you know, I grew up in a good family and we weren't rich, but we weren't poor, you know. I went to decent schools that apparently I hate.
Apparently you do.
But anyway, you can review us in-app if you want to.
Or never listen to us again. Don't listen to us again.
Just open it up. Like Cinema Studs did, 5 stars, and says the topic is you should surf. So I love listening to James and Claire. It makes me want to start a podcast with my wife. You guys are hilarious and make my hump day a little brighter. And don't go surf. No sharks for me. There you go. Flipped it all around. What about you, Claire? You got some recommendations?
I do. I have one from Chris Wilshire on Twitter that says, "You and Claire should give Motherland a go. There are 2 series from the BBC and they're so funny." Thanks, Chris.
Terrific.
I'll totally do that.
Yeah. What are the specifics?
I don't know. That's all it had. The other one I recommend is Hat Jam, which is a brand new podcast around Planet Broadcasting Network.
Yeah.
And award-winning artist Cav Temperley from the band Eskimo Joe
basically
writes a song. In half an hour. Well, it's a 5-hour studio thing, edited half an hour.
To a very listenable slice. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. And it's really awesome. And it's available now on iTunes.
That's right.
The first one guest is Sarah McLeod from Super Jesus, who are one of my favorite bands. You might know Super their Jesus. Song, Gravity.
I do know that song.
It's really good.
It's mostly about gravity. Alpha moms, they navigate that. It's about a group of alpha moms who navigate the challenges of parenthood and try to balance their social and professional lives despite the frequent hang-ups and misunderstandings.
Did you say mom?
Moms. That's what it says in the thing. Alpha moms. Mom. Hey, mom.
You're saying that wrong. I'm sure you're saying it wrong.
They say roofed. I can't do it. Anyway.
Oh, Lord. Mm. Okay.
Next week, this shit again. See you later, everyone. Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.